Here we go. Tom and Curly Show. Thanks, everybody, for being here. Certainly appreciate you. And when you write to us, it's even that much better. You write to us at mynorthwest.com. Text as well at 98973. By the way, I'm cutting it really close. I'm jumping into the river now at 2:48, Tom. And then running back here as fast as I possibly can to get on the air. I find it really gets stuff going, and it makes me feel better. So I'm cutting it close.
So you literally are diving in 12 minutes before
Not dive. By the way, let me say something. Stop the music for a second, please, Sean. At first, it was kind of fun to have Doug there taking video. Now he does it every day. So now it's gotten to the point that it's just weird. He's like, you got your underwear inside out. I'm like, okay, you know what, Doug? You don't need to be talking about that and videotaping. Now it just seems like at first it was the novelty of like, are you really going to go in that freezing cold water? He has a whole collection, almost 20-some days of me jumping in the water on his phone, Tom.
How is he available enough? Like, he doesn't have other constraints on his time?
Jacob, he's retired. Let's just put it that way, all right? There's not a lot going on over there in the cleat. I mean, he'd be quite happy to think that you think that he's got stuff to do. I mean, it's like, well, hold on now. I got to stop whatever I'm doing now and go in there and videotape you jumping into the water.
Let him do it for 10 more days, like 30 days. Then he's got like a month's worth, and then you can say, okay, we're done.
Okay, well, I went over today and I snuck in there without telling him. I don't mind. Go on video. I'm a showman. I don't mind. I just don't want you commenting on my uniform. The fact that I got the underwear. And I said to him, you get two wears out of the underwear. You wear it out with the tag in, and then you flip it around. You get a double-double. Jacob, you with me on that?
No. As often as I've made clear that I have strange habits about washing myself, I do only wear underwear a single time. But that's also why I have so much of it.
Hey, who's that's with me? Sean. Sean, double up on the underwear. Inside, outside. Where are we on that?
Well,
am I the only one?
I tend to just wear, maybe if I'm having a week, I'm going to just wear the same underwear for like 3 or 4 days in a row. I'm not going to turn them inside out. Just wear them.
Okay, you see, I'm not with you. You are now in your own little soiled mess with that story. All right, let's get to the fact that it's happening. They're going to play a big vote down there in Birmingham, Alabama. I think there's got about 6,000 people that work for Amazon, and they would love to be able to get the union in place. Now, first, Amazon Jeff Bezos tried to go to the Labor Relations Board back in December and January. Said, well, hold on a second. We don't want to do this by mail. This won't be good by mail. One, it could easily be manipulated. We don't want that. We can't trust it. What could that be? The National Labor Relations Board said, no, we're going to let it go ahead. No. The turnout's going to be lower. It's only we're going to probably lose 20 to 30% of the voters. Labor Relations Board said, yeah, probably. But you know what? We're going to let it happen anyway. So they pushed it through. And now they get a chance to vote. And even Joe Biden was given a script, and he got through most of it, explaining that he was in full support of the vote. And good for you. The workers should be able to unionize if they want. And good for you. It's an historic chance for the president to come on, make a little brief 2-minute video supporting the possibility that they would unionize there in Birmingham, Alabama, Tom.
Are you going to play some audio or not? Because
He cleverly
sidestepped. This is not about this specific case, supposedly. He just was singing the merits of allowing for a vote to take place if you want to consider unionizing.
Full-throated.
I made it clear when I was running that my administration's policy would be to support unions organizing and the right to collectively bargain. I'm keeping that promise. You should all remember, the National Labor Relations Act didn't just say that unions are allowed to exist. It said that we should encourage unions. So let me be really clear.
By the way, I try to find out if that's true. National Labor Relations Board encourages unions?
I couldn't find that to be true.
But
it's not up to me to decide whether anyone should join a union. But let me be even more clear. It's not up to an employer to decide that either. The choice to join a union is up to the workers. Full stop. Full stop.
All right. Full stop. Yeah. Good. All right.
So what's in?
So he didn't mention Amazon, but he did hear this
right.
one a little bit more.
Today and over the next few days and weeks, workers in Alabama and all across America are voting on whether to organize a union in their workplace. This is vitally important, a vitally important choice as America grapples with the deadly pandemic, the economic crisis, and the reckoning on race, what it reveals, the deep disparities that still exist in our country. And there should be no intimidation, no coercion, no threats, no anti-union propaganda. No supervisors should confront employees about their union preferences.
Okay. He throws all the other stuff in there. It really has nothing to do with the union. And then finally, last part is...
You know, every worker should have a free and fair choice to join a union. The law guarantees that choice. And it's your right, not that of an employer. It's your right. No employer can take that right away. So make your voice heard. God bless you all, and may God protect the workers and their families who are trying to figure out how to make it fairly. Thank you.
What? Okay. By the way, the idea that you have a right to unionize, you also have a right not to be in the union, right?
Right. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So the objection, what I think he was trying to get at is that Amazon has now, from the union side of it, a pretty aggressive anti-union campaign inside. Once they step inside, they've got all their managers talking to them about why you don't need a union. And I think he's thinking that's kind of like unfair lobbying. Now, in defense of what they're doing, Amazon says, no, these are just informational. We're not advocating one way or the other, which is hard to imagine. We experienced that. I think it was before. I'm sure it was before you were at Cairo. Mm-hmm. We used to be a union house, and there was a vote for decertification, and it was this very awkward situation where people that you work with, your bosses, are giving out all this company literature about, you know, why you don't need a union or unions aren't good, and it did put mm-hmm. kind of a strain on the workplace for a while there. But that's sort of what's happening here. The union people are outside the building, and the, I don't know if you call them anti-union, but the company people are on the inside. And so they're sort of right. being battled back and forth. By the way, just to clarify, John, you said it's Birmingham, Alabama. It's actually a place called, I don't know how to pronounce this. So if someone does know, Bessemer, Alabama, which is outside of Birmingham. But it's close enough to Birmingham to say that the Birmingham economy may benefit from it. What's interesting mm-hmm. about this, and I just, when I first heard this is the first time I think that there's actually been a vote that's come to a head at an Amazon fulfillment right. center. Alabama, that seems like the oddest place for it to happen. The one interesting niche, and I still don't think it's going to, I mean, I don't think the vote is going to happen, but the fact, I mean, that the vote's going to be in favor of a union, but the fact that the vote's even taking place, they say the reason there's some take hold here for union possibilities, in fact, they came to the union and pitched and said, hey, we'd like to join the union. We don't like, you know, some of us don't like the way we're being treated at Amazon, despite the good pay. Could you come and have a test? The thrust behind this is that it used to be an old steel town, I think it was, and it was a union town at the mm-hmm. time, and so they thought, well, because of that, maybe there is a history with unions that normally doesn't resonate with younger people. If you're under 40, you probably don't have much experience with many unions, and so they say there's a chance. The Bloomberg article talks about how mm-hmm. we're not predicting which way it'll go, but it's a tough hill to climb for any union to get started, especially when it is twice at $15 an hour. That's twice mm-hmm. what the minimum wage is in Alabama. The people arguing for the union say it's not about the wage; it's about the conditions. Okay.
So Alabama has about 8% of its workers are unionized. And how do that compare to the rest of the country? The rest of the country can be about 8.5%. So they're just about right in there with just about everybody else.
Not too off.
With 8% of the employees being unionized. Right. It's tough. Listen, it's from what I've read, they really watch you really hard. They want to make sure you're not slacking. You know, they get this monitor. They know how many packages you're pick-packing, shipping.
Yeah.
They have a system in place. The same thing with UPS is the same. As soon as you step off of the seat, it knows that you're off the seat. It sees how long it takes you to close the door, how far away you are from. I mean, they're treating you like a machine, right?
Yeah.
And they want you to have the efficiency of the machine because their ability to be able to pick, pack and ship in an unbelievable amount of time, and each one of those employees will have to produce X amount of boxes on that conveyor belt to then go to the people that want this thing in 24 hours, and that's the case. I don't know what they're getting paid in Alabama to work there, but man, yeah, if all of a sudden that is $15, because it's just $15 for those people. Well, what happens is then Amazon, it's much harder than for someone else down the street to compete against Amazon. That's why Target and Walmart and Costco come out and offer 15 because they can afford. It drives all of its competitors that can't afford to pay those guys out of business. So when you see Target do it, Target's not doing it for its employees. Target's not doing it for any other reason other than the fact that it's going to be really hard for someone that's competing against something big like that to attract an employee and have to pay them the same amount as the big guys do. So that's one of the reasons that this thing's in place. I don't know if it's going to pass or not, but President Biden is asking that, let's let the unions get in there and let them get their fair vote. It wouldn't do well in Seattle. This is a piece in the Seattle Times basically saying we already have 15 now, and I don't know if it would even be able to move forward here in Seattle.
Yeah, no, I know. I mean, unions are back on their heels. Unless you're in certain industries, the union is like seen as a relic of the heyday of the 20th century, 50 years ago, 60 years ago.
Speaking of the heyday, the back in the 50s, when you could just walk up and grab a woman by the face and kiss her, or put her, or just look at her all weird and say, "Hey, you ever think about dating a 63-year-old?" The LoveGov is in trouble. That's right. Finally, they have decided, you know what? Let's do something on Andrew Cuomo. He was a saint, and everybody thought he was just the best thing in the world. Now in New York, Bill de Blasio, who there's no love lost between these two.
We have to believe. Women who come forward and fully investigate. And, you know, the governor issued a total non-apology earlier and in effect treated sexual harassment as some kind of laughing matter. It's not a laughing matter. It's not a joke. It's very, very serious stuff. And we need a full investigation. If it proves that these allegations are true, how can someone lead a state if they've done these kind of things?
Okay, he is not accused of the same sort of stuff like Joe Biden was by Tara Reid, which is, I think, putting his hands, up and doing nasty stuff. This guy is just creepy.
Or Donald Trump. Donald Trump has 23 people.
Or Donald
people.
Trump. He's not the president anymore. Joe Biden is. Or Bill Clinton or Harvey Weinstein. This guy is accused of just being a general creep, although he did try to kiss somebody and he did put his hands on them and sort of do this sort of like, hey, what about me? Let me kiss you kind of thing. Just stuff. If you were in a corporate world, you would be fired 3 weeks ago. But in this case, they'll do an investigation. They'll look into it. And people are now calling for his dismissal. Although Lindsey Graham steps up and says,
rather than jumping to the conclusion that he should resign, I think what should happen is there should be a process where the people who make the accusations can be heard and can defend himself. I think that's the best thing for the people in New York and best thing for the country.
There you go. All righty. And I got two more cuts you care about. His brother's in a tough spot. Now, remember, his brother covered him and had him on all the time during the whole COVID thing while Cuomo was lying to the federal government and killing old people.
Do you think that you are an attractive person now because you're single and ready to mingle? Do you really think you are some desirable single person?
I should say, this is from a couple of months ago. This is not like yesterday. This is, I think, back in whenever he got on Ellen and everybody was making a big deal about
it. This is not just people's pain coming out of them.
I think beauty is in the eye of the beholder.
Listen to you. You got an answer for anything. You're feeling pretty good about yourself these days, aren't you?
Yeah, everybody said he was just the greatest, and I guess it went to his head, and then he won an Emmy Award. He even wrote a book about how great he was helping New York through COVID. The book was out there. He was on Ellen. People referred to him as the Love Gov. There was talk about whether or not he should run for president, or will he be Joe Biden's vice presidential pick. He was the S, Tom. That was the best. So now,
so my one question is: I'm not familiar enough with New York politics. Is this just like a recent? Did he suddenly become? You know, I don't know what the appropriate word is, except maybe inappropriate. Is this like a recent development? You know, former mayor Rudy Giuliani has had this really salacious. You know, he's been obvious with his affairs and his divorces and all that kind of stuff. We sort of hear that kind of stuff. I hadn't heard any of this about Andrew Cuomo until it's all these instances are just like in the last couple of years. Did he have this reputation that's now only now coming to the fore, or is he just like flowering in his older age into this awful
I actually think I might have an answer for this. So I was looking at Cuomo's Wikipedia page, and he was in a marriage, I think, from the 90s until 2005. And then after that, he was in what they describe as a domestic partnership until 2019. So say you what you will about his recent behavior, perhaps being in a relationship stopped him for whatever reason from engaging in this type of thing. And now that he is single.
Until 2019, that explains why all these things are of such recent vintage.
He was always considered a bully, and I guess he's got enough power that if you don't go with him, then you're against him, and maybe people are afraid to come out. But it's one of these things. The first person gets the guts to come out, that one woman. Second, you'll probably see others as well. But Jacob says it happens. So after he's out of that relationship, then all of a sudden he's on the hunt. And as his brother Chris Cuomo says, you know, that, you know, he's single and ready to mingle. And I guess that's how he does it. I mean, he's out of practice.
I know. It's so, it's, yeah. I mean, it's, to act that way post hashtag Me Too. It's just,
especially him, because he threw Kavanaugh under the bus without any. No, there weren't any. Oh, I hear the music. Okay, Sean. Okay, let's go to traffic. Sorry, here. Traffic. Hey, everybody. Here we go. You can write to us at mynorthwest.com. You text as well at 98973. Good news, Tom, that we're not supposed to chase happiness the way we thought we were supposed to chase happiness. Obsession with happiness is making our kids miserable. And I would say making most people miserable as well. It is the most sort of walked through area of books and bookstores is the whole sort of self-help happiness section, often colored in bright yellow or orange.
Yeah,
it is
pastel.
One of the most Googled pastels.
Easter
people
colors.
Go there, how to be happy, how to be happy. And this article basically says that we're doing a great injustice to our kids by trying to have them see that as the goal in life.
Yeah, I think that as an end result, that may be ideal, that we are individually happy. In fact, I think most parents probably wish more than anything else that our kids will be happy more than being successful or whatever. It's happiness, I think, is it's a value. But the suggestion here by this doctor writing this article in the Washington Post about how our kids are being made miserable by our obsession with happiness, it makes sense if you are harping on happiness, and they mention these, you know, those artsy house rule signs, and one of them is be happy. And she points out that nobody is ever made happy by being told, be happy, shape up and be happy. That by insisting that we need to be happy, it's like, don't cry. It's like, don't acknowledge your feelings. Whatever the only thing that's acceptable is feeling happy. So knock it off if you don't feel happy. And the doctor says in this article, the suggestion is that No, the point of it is, you know, we all go through hills and they have hills and valleys, and we have to appreciate and relish the valley so that the hills and the mountains that we ascend to can be seen in perspective, that part of a happy life is to have moments of unhappiness, because things cannot be always perfect. And during a pandemic with a lockdown, if you're not going to school, there are all these frustrations that kids, not we're putting adults aside right now, all the frustrations, they have to be acknowledged and accepted and sort of you know, mulled over, put in perspective, but not to deny them that kids have enough emotional problems already, feeling it, oh my God, I'm not doing something right because I feel down. It's okay to feel down. It's okay to feel scared. It's okay to feel all these things, as long as they don't dominate your entire worldview as a kid.
Happiness is can never be the direction or the byproduct of an effort. I heard Jordan Peterson say this once, and I thought this was really brilliant. He said that it is almost like grace. It is something that you receive that is with you only temporarily after you are doing something that is right, that you are being your best self at that time. And in effect, it is a reward, temporary as it is, that it's saying to you, yes, what you are doing right now is right or the best for you. Not sort of a salacious happiness or something that is, you know, getting something from, you know, doing something that would be considered to be not in your best nature or self, but an act. Like the other day, I said that you, I don't know if you were here, Tom, and I said I had a great weekend. I experienced unbelievable happiness helping this lady who was stuck on the side of the road with her car, and a bunch of us got out of our cars and helped pull her out.
Yeah.
And I'm telling you, for about 25 minutes while walking around the Safeway store, I told Jacob, Matt, you might have heard this as well. There were four of us that all ended up at the Safeway store there in Cleveland. And the one guy is coming down the aisle, pushing his cart. He's got some beer and a couple of things. He's the one of the guys that helped pull the woman out of the car, out of the ditch with me. And as we walked by, we just high-fived each other and kept right on going. It was this moment of, like, for 25 minutes, I was in a state of grace or happiness. I didn't set out to, I'm going to help her to be happy. That was the byproduct of the action that you're doing the best you can. So don't aim for happiness. You will receive it as your sort of thanks for coming by and doing something good. Does that make sense?
Yeah, well, no. In fact, they often say that when people are depressed, the best thing to do is when you're feeling sad about your life and yourself, go out and do something for somebody else. And it's almost a guarantee that sort of sharing, you make feel like there's a purpose for me in life. I can help somebody else. That helps you lift that depression. Now, obviously, there's serious clinical depression and it's not so easily fixed. But a lot of times, if you can get out of your own head, if you can get out of your own worries, that actually helps you, you know, bring more perspective to your worries by helping others. And that's exactly what you and those guys did with that car. Good job.
That was a great feeling. Yeah. And then the other one was I was with Rye the other day, and he played for me talking to the tower at Boeing Field. And I was like, oh, my God, he's going to play this and I'm going to cry because it's going to be he's going to sound so good. Here it is.
Montgomery Tower, Mooney 904 Kilo Sierra, ready for departure 28 left. Request left downwind departure when cleared.
And I thought, wow, does he sound like a girl? No.
Well, he's high up, right?
No, that's some, I just found that. That's some woman calling the tower. But when he called the tower, Tom, it was like, that's my kid, right? Yeah. And the tower responds, Kilo out of 0914, hold steady, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, look at you, roll. And he's like, yeah, that's what you do. And then he looked over at me like, don't cry because you'll ruin the whole thing. But, you know how it is. Come on, Tom. You're with me on this, right?
Absolutely. Yes. There's nothing that makes parents happier than to see their kids doing something well.
Yes. Listen to the two of us getting all weepy on this. But that, you know, whether it's a kid at 9 years old, where I only had one pitch, which was the one in the middle. And then, you know, sometimes kids would hit it. Sometimes they'd strike out. Or your kids succeeding or anybody succeeding. Even Jacob, I feel like when he goes in and uses the bathroom and washes his hands, and I'm like, good for him. That seems
I didn't even have to remind him.
No, I don't. I'm just all weepy when I see him in there going to the bathroom. All right, Tracy Taylor. Welcome back, Sean.
Thank you, John.
Mm-hmm. All right, everybody. The fact that high-tech Dine and Dash is forcing popular Korean fusion cafe to close. I thought Dine and Dash, you would go in, you sit down, you order the biggest thing you can. I've only done it once in my life, and I felt so guilty.
Well, that's good.
I never did it again, and I kept thinking, here's what's going to happen. I'm going to Dine and Dash, and then I'm going to get, like, trichinosis and isn't that where you get lockjaw? Isn't that lockjaw? Yeah, trichinosis. Right? That's going to be the death of me. Here's how people are doing it now, in case you've never done it before.
Korean fusion cafe Spoon by H had the ingredients to become an L.A. success story.
During the weekend, it was, you know, line out the door.
The food is amazing. It's one of the best food. We actually come from Orange County.
But this is the epitome of a small business. Owner and chef Yunjin Hwang started her restaurant from her love of food and works 15-hour days running it with her mom and brother.
We have no staff. We have no cooks. I have to do everything by myself. Like so many other, you know, small businesses, like we were hit hard by the pandemic.
With so many new takeout orders online and through apps came a new challenge called friendly fraud or chargebacks. It's when a customer orders food, often through a delivery service, receives it, but disputes the charge with their credit card company to get a refund. One day, Yunjin got her biggest order ever for more than $700.
He came and then he picked up the food. And then 1 week later, he disputed a charge.
She lost everything, the food, the money, and it kept happening over and over.
I just felt so, you know, incredibly helpless and frustrated.
So she made the decision to close up shop for good. Saturday will be her last day, much to her customers' dismay.
When I found out it was closing, I was just devastated.
But patrons saw her struggles and stepped in to help, raising more than $60,000 on a GoFundMe page.
It's been a wonderful, like, reminder that there's more good in the people, like, around us and in our community.
How about that?
Wow. So infuriating, though, that people would do that. I mean, it's just like an exaggerated version of what we heard last week about tips are down for people, which seems odd. I mean, I've never tipped more than I have during the pandemic because we realize how tough it is for people in the you know, restaurant industry, the food industry, to pull this off. To think that you would actually screw somebody out of $700 order even. Oh, my God.
Do you think they know, though, Tom? You think the person that's doing that, I think they think, oh, the credit card company eats that. They probably think, yeah, they're a big bank or they're a big corporation. It's not going to come back on them. It's the same way when people steal stuff. And, well, just put on your insurance. It's just the insurance. You know, I remember one time my car got broken into. And a friend of mine goes, what'd they take? I said, nothing. Oh, yeah, they did. They took golf clubs. They took a pair of alligator shoes. I'm like, no, they didn't. Yes, they did. Not with me. And I'm like, no. They took a washer and dryer. I said, what the house? How big is this car? Oh, yeah, put that, everything. You got all sorts of stuff in there. I'm like,
you need to upgrade your friends, John.
This was a long time ago.
Okay.
Was, yeah, my friend Bob.
Anyway,
Holly.
It's just maybe
his
people
name
don't
really
realize
it wasn't Bob Holly. It was Bob Nolly.
Yeah, that's
anyway,
right.
There we go. No, but I think just going to get benefit of the doubt. I don't believe they think, well, I'm going to screw that Korean restaurant so badly that they go out of business. I bet they think, oh, that's the credit. Oh, they can afford. That's the credit card company. They just eat that loss, whatever that's supposed to mean. I got that happened to me with my credit card, and I got my Venmo account got canceled. That's why I haven't been able to send Jacob $20 for no reason.
Oh.
And then Venmo sends me a letter saying, hey, $740 was charged back. And then it says, we, meaning Venmo, we are out $740. What are we supposed to do about that? That was the letter from the – it sounded like coming from like my neighbor down the street. This was from a corporation. So I said – I wrote back. I said, I don't know what you're supposed to do, but I had the card stolen. They wrote back, if you want to unfreeze your account, you've got to make it right with us and give us $740 to open your account back up again. So they're not eating it.
Well, they are eating it if you decide you're not going to avail yourself of their services. That's interesting.
That's
though.
True.
So they are so credit card companies, and maybe they do. I don't understand enough about the way Venmo makes money as opposed to the way credit cards make money. But the credit card companies. But I would think
they
that
take a little piece of it. They take a little piece of it. But then everybody's taking a piece of it. Venmo takes a piece of it, right? Because it's instant to Jacob, and then I'm putting it on my credit card, so I pay my credit card company. you know, 3% or whatever they get charged. But Venmo's, it's quick to Jacob right away.
Yeah, I see.
So I now, to get my account back open again, I got to pay them $740. Let's check in with Tracy Taylor. What's going on out there?